Maybe you can hear better. All right. I want us to look at this, these verses here to begin with. We're continuing our study of the Lord's Prayer and what we can learn about the Lord's Prayer. So these verses, we read Matthew 4:17, but let's read this here together. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." Now, we're looking at the Lord's Prayer, the third part in this message here, "Thy kingdom come." Understanding what this means here. Now, first of all, it's interesting, when you look at the Lord's Prayer, there are four requests about God, and then we see this phrase, "on earth as it is in heaven." And then there's four requests about us. Now, the structure of this, the way it's written, the structure suggests that "on earth as it is in heaven" goes with each of the first four phrases. So, for example, "Our Father in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven." He is our Father on earth as He is in heaven. "Hallowed be Your name, on earth as it is in heaven." "Your kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven." "Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Now, it's interesting that I think this suggests to us that these first four requests will be something we pray for on earth and we will pray for in heaven. Very interesting. Is there prayer in heaven? Yes, there is, because we're speaking to God in prayer. So these first four requests will be something we pray for on earth and in heaven. And then the last four requests, which you're going to see later, would be something we would pray only on earth. And you'll find out later why. Those last four requests are something we only pray on earth. But see, the first four, we pray here on earth, and we will pray also in heaven. And so we see what the Lord's Prayer is again. A quick review here. The Lord's Prayer is a teaching disciples' prayer. Jesus is teaching His disciples about prayer. And He gave us this model prayer, this pocket prayer. If you didn't get a pocket prayer, I have a little card I can give you, a pocket prayer. The other day we were discussing it, and someone said, "Well, what is prayer?" Well, Jesus said, you know, it's not just repeating words. It's not meaningless repetition. But it's more than that. Prayer is, as we see here, prayer is calling on God's name. Now, we talked about this, that prayer is a relationship. The last time we talked about the difference between a religion and a relationship. You know, a religion is someone who's in church thinking about fishing. Remember that little story? That's religion. A relationship is someone fishing, thinking about God. And so, prayer is calling on God's name because we have a relationship with Him. Now, when they first began to pray in Genesis 4:26, they called upon the name of Jehovah God. In Genesis 4:26, we see these words here. At that time, people began to call on the name of Jehovah God, the Lord God. They knew Him, His name, Jehovah God, Yahweh. And they began to call upon His name. And then God revealed Himself to Abraham as the Almighty God. And Abraham called upon Him as the Almighty God. And also in the book of Job, many times you see Job. And all that Job went through, Job called upon the name of the Almighty God. Then here in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus shows us something else. We call upon Him as our Heavenly Father, our Father in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, He is our Heavenly Father. We have that relationship. He is our Heavenly Father. And then we saw also how Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He cried out, Abba, Father. And Paul encourages us to call Him Abba, Father. And Abba, of course, is the Aramaic word for dad. It's a very close relationship. Now, I don't know how close your relationship is to your Heavenly Father, or your earthly father, I should say. I don't know how close you are to your earthly father, but God, your Heavenly Father, wants you to have a close relationship with Him. We call Him not only our Father, but our Dad, our Heavenly Dad, Abba Fu, Baba. And then we saw last time that prayer is not only calling on God's name, but prayer is seeing God is greater than our problems. You see, God's greatness, God's goodness, God's holiness, God's mercy is greater than all our problems. That's what we saw last time. So many times we come to God in prayer and we can only see the size of our problem. And we need to see the size of our God. That He is greater than our problems, whatever they might be. That we come to God in prayer, seeing God as greater than all our problems. And then this today, we want to see that prayer is seeking God's mission. Seeking God's mission, Thy kingdom come. Now, many of you, businesses, you go into a business, you see they have a mission statement. Why is that business there? They have a mission statement. You go into a hospital, they have a mission statement. You go into a school, they have a mission statement. And also churches have mission statements. And that's the purpose. And so we see that here is our mission statement in prayer. Jesus had a mission for coming to this earth. And He left a mission for His followers. And in the Lord's Prayer, we are seeking God's kingdom. That is our mission. Thy kingdom come. So we see this in this prayer. And I want to look at this part today. The third request. Thy kingdom come. What does that mean? Thy kingdom come. Well, first of all, we see what is the kingdom. And consider, first of all, what it is not. All right? The kingdom is not, I know we're here from Kansas City, but it's not the Chiefs kingdom, although it's all right to be a Chiefs fan. And they have a program, I think, Saturday night about the Chiefs' kingdom. But that's not what it's talking about. And it's not the Royals' kingdom, although go Royals. I mean, they made it to World Series. How great is that? Second year in a row. But it's more than that. All right? It's not, we're excited here in Kansas City, and so we should be. But it's not the Chiefs' kingdom. It's not the Royals' kingdom. That's not what it's talking about here. And it's not seeking our own kingdom. It has nothing to do with our own kingdom. But it is seeking God's kingdom. So Jesus came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. So what is kingdom? If you look in the Old Testament, the kingdom refers to the rule of human kingdoms. We see, of course, the kingdom of Israel. And then when that kingdom divided, we see the kingdom of Judah. And of course, we see other nations mentioned in the Old Testament. Babylon, the kingdom of Persia, and the Greek kingdom, and the Roman kingdom. Very interesting. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, it talks about the kingdom here of Sinim, or from which you get our word Sino, which refers to China. China is mentioned also as a kingdom. But we come to the New Testament, and we see here the kingdom occurs as the rule of God's kingdom. And 50 times in Matthew, he refers to the kingdom, 32 times as the kingdom of heaven, and 4 times as the kingdom of God. And then most often in Mark and Luke, it's called the kingdom of God. Now, this kingdom of heaven, I believe, because Matthew was written to the Jews. And the Jews, out of reverence for the name of God, would often refer to heaven. Rather than to say the sacred name of God, they would often refer to heaven. It's interesting that even the Chinese, you know, you have Da, meaning big, and the one big one, the great one, Tian. And so Tian is also, heaven is also a name in Chinese for God. Out of reverence, of course, the word Shangdi, meaning above, the emperor. But God is referred to heaven. So in Matthew, it's called the kingdom of heaven, but also he mentions the kingdom of God. And of course, in Matthew and Mark and in Luke, writing to other Gentiles, he refers to the kingdom of God. So I think that's referring to the same, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. So we see this mentioned here in the New Testament. This is God's rule. Now, the kingdom of God, or heaven, is really the reign of God that He brings through Jesus Christ. Jesus came the first time, or see this, He brought the kingdom of God is near. And we're going to understand what this kingdom is all about. But also, keep this in mind that Jesus Christ is coming again. And His coming is near. His second coming is near. And so, we are also today telling people that the kingdom of God is near. He is coming again. So, what is the kingdom? It's God's kingdom. It's not our kingdom. It's God's kingdom. And then the next question we should ask, who is the king? Now, he is not the king or queen of England, although there are other countries who have kings and queens. That's not what we're referring to. And of course, if you ask someone in America who's the king, I'm not referring to Elvis Presley either, the king of rock and roll. And if you ask some young people, who's the king? They might say, LeBron James, he's the King James. He's the king of basketball. But it's none of these. The Bible does refer to the king, can refer in the Bible to human kings, pharaohs, King Saul, King David, King Solomon, King Nebuchadnezzar, King Cyrus, Caesar, and of course the emperors. But it's not just a human king it's referred to here. King also refers to the Bible as God. He's called the King of Heaven in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 37. He's called the King of Glory, Psalm 24 verse 10. He's called the Eternal, Immortal, Invisible King, 1 Timothy 1:17. And He's called the Great King, Psalm 47:2. He rules over all the earth, Psalm 99. And He rules from His throne, Psalm 9. So, yes, God is King. And we need to remember that when we come to God in prayer, God is on His throne. He never left His throne. He is still in control. Now, I know sometimes that's difficult because we kind of like to be in control of things, don't we? We like to feel that we're in control of things. But we need to remember that God is in control. He is the King. And then the King also refers to, in the Bible, is Jesus Christ. He is the King. Jesus Christ was prophesied in the Old Testament as being the King. In the Old Testament, that this King would come, the promised one. It was fulfilled in the New Testament. Even at His birth, they acknowledge King Herod said these words, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" You remember when they crucified Him, they put a sign over His head, King of the Jews. Yes, He is the King of the Jews, but His first coming was not to set up His kingdom on this earth. His first coming was to reign and rule in our hearts, as we're going to see that. But His second coming, He is going to come as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Revelation 17 and Revelation 19, He's called the King of Kings, the King of all kings, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He's going to set up His kingdom on this earth. The Bible tells us that. So, the kingdom of God is God's kingdom. The King is God, and Jesus Christ wants to reign and rule in our hearts. And one day He's going to come again and reign on this earth in the future kingdom. And then I want us to think about who are the subjects of the King. Now, of course, human kings rule over their countries. They're the subjects of the King. But the divine King, God, rules over the earth. And at Christ's second coming, it tells us here in Revelation 20 and verse 4 that they reign with Christ 1,000 years. 1,000 is the word millennial kingdom. That Christ will come at His second coming. The Bible in the Old Testament speaks of two comings of Jesus. His first coming as the Lamb of God to take away our sin, as we sang this morning. His second coming coming as a King to rule over this earth. Now, it's good for us to keep in mind that we talked about what is a kingdom. It's not our job as Christians to set up a political kingdom on this earth. Now, as citizens, as good citizens, we need to be involved in, as citizens, to vote our values. We need to vote. We need to participate as citizens. But we're not here to set up a political kingdom. But His kingdom, His first coming, is a spiritual kingdom. His second coming, He's going to come and set up a literal kingdom. And so, the divine King, Christ, now is a spiritual kingdom. He rules in our hearts and in our lives of His people. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus replied to them. They were asking about the coming of the kingdom. Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." And the kingdom of God comes through Christ's life. As He came, this first coming, He, the King, was in their midst. But He wants to rule in our hearts as King. We accept Him as our Lord and Savior. We accept Him as our Savior to save us from our sins, but we accept Him as our Lord to be the King of our life and in our heart. We allow Him to rule in our hearts. So, that's what the kingdom of God is. And we allow Him to rule in our hearts as our King and our Lord. And then the question is asked, how can one enter the kingdom of God? We need to understand what the kingdom is. How can I get into the kingdom of God? And there are many verses that tell us the answer to this question. For example, John 3:3, Jesus said, "Verily, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Nicodemus was a very religious man, came to Jesus by night. And he told this religious man, you cannot enter the kingdom of God by your religion. It's only through being born again and having a relationship with God. That's the only way you can go into the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God, you have to experience a new birth. You have to be born again. You receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You ask Him to come into your life and allow Him to rule in the heart of your life. We also enter the kingdom of God by repenting of our sins. So Jesus said, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent of our sins. Believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross for your sin. He wants to take away your sin. He wants to remove your sin. As far as the east is from the west. He wants to cleanse our hearts. And so we repent of our sins and we believe the good news that Jesus Christ died in my place. I receive Him as my Savior. And that's how I enter the kingdom of God. The disciples also remind us that we are persevering in our faith. And so the disciples, Acts chapter 14, strengthen the disciples and encourage them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. The kingdom of God is a gift from God. That we're born again. God gives us the gift of eternal life. But as His disciples, as followers of Jesus, He never promised us a bed of roses. It's not the kingdom of roses. It's the kingdom of God. And sometimes there are difficulties, there are hardships in following Jesus, yes. But there's the kingdom of God. We follow Jesus, even though we may go through some hardships, we enter into the kingdom of God. And then Jesus reminded His disciples that the kingdom of God comes by doing the will of God. And we'll talk about that more next time in our lessons on the Lord's Prayer. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. It's not just knowing the right words to say. It's great that we come to church and we learn the truth of God's Word. But it's not just saying the right words. That has to come from our heart. Lord, Lord, I heard that in church. Lord, Lord. Does it come from my heart? Am I calling out to Him? Lord, Lord. And by doing the will of God, I enter the kingdom of God. I'm following my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So here it tells us how to enter into the kingdom of God. And then another important thing is we pray for God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Yes, God's kingdom is here. Jesus Christ is in our midst. He wants to rule in our hearts. We want to see more and more completely His kingdom in our lives. And also, we need to proclaim that kingdom. That's part of our mission. That's why this important part of this prayer, we're seeking God's mission, and that's to proclaim the kingdom of God. Again, it's not a political kingdom. So we see here, it started off with the message of John. John the Baptist, that prophet who was the voice crying out in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And then John was put in prison. And when he was put in prison, that was the time that Jesus began to preach. And the message of Jesus, as we saw today, again, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And so, we need to proclaim the message of the kingdom of God. That God loves us. He died for us. But Jesus Christ wants to reign in our hearts. And we follow Him as our Lord and our Master. And so this was the message of John. It was the message of Jesus. It was also the message of the apostles. Acts 28, the ending of the book of Acts and the beginning of the church in the book of Acts. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God from the law of Moses, from the prophets. He tried to persuade them about Jesus. The message of the Bible points to the mission of God, Jesus Christ. And so it's a message of all believers. Five times here, we see the great commission that Jesus gave us. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. Again in Mark 16 and Luke 24 and John 20. Even as God has sent me, Jesus said, so send I you. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And we're to go into Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. This is called the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is our great Thy Kingdom Come mission to proclaim and pray for God's kingdom to come in the hearts of others. Thy kingdom come. So when we pray this, we pray for God's kingdom to come completely in our own hearts. We pray for God's kingdom to come completely in our own church. And we pray for God's kingdom to come in the hearts of others completely. Thy kingdom come. We need to pray for the mission that God has for us as individuals and as a church. What is the mission of God for me? You know, there are many things we could do. But when you pray this prayer, Thy Kingdom Come, it's praying for God's mission. What would God have? What is God's mission? Understanding what God's mission is in the kingdom and then praying for that mission for us as individuals and as a church. I think I've shared my testimony before with some of you and maybe you've heard part of it. After my senior year at high school, I was 18 years of age, and my younger sister, was 13 years of age. And we did quite a bit with the young people. And I remember coming home, I think it was a Saturday night with the young people, I think maybe it was a Sunday, we had a young people's activity. And that night, my sister went to bed, and next day, it had to be a weekday, maybe it was a Monday. It was during the summer, middle of July. And I went to work at a summer job. And I heard my father came in, and my sister had passed away in her sleep, 13 years of age. And it was the first time I'd ever had somebody that was that close to me had passed away. And I thank God that she was a believer in Jesus Christ. I know that she's in heaven. But that really kind of shook my world. I was getting ready to go to college, and I just thought I would go to college and study business, and I would work for my father's business. And I was thinking only about my kingdom. I was only thinking about my kingdom. And I remember the funeral. I remember one of my cousins coming to the funeral. And here was a young man that, you know, we did all kinds of activities with together. He just lived down the road, and his brothers and my brother and I, we rode bikes together. We did everything together. But I had never shared with him the gospel. And he came to the funeral, and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. The funeral of my sister, he got saved. And as I went off to college, my eyes were beginning to be open to God's kingdom. What is God's kingdom all about? What is God's mission for me? I had a roommate in college, and his name was Jerry. He was like an older brother to me, and I really needed Jerry at that time. And Jerry was my roommate, and Jerry had been in the Marines. He had been stationed in Japan, and he had visited a lot of the Far East. And Jerry kind of helped me out. He took me under his wings. He was really an older brother to me. And Jerry started to go in the evening after dinner, from Monday to Wednesday, Friday nights, five nights a week. A lot of the college students would meet and pray for God's kingdom around the world, for God's mission. They would pray for missionaries. So Jerry invited me to come with him. And sometimes all it takes is just an invitation. Will you just come with me and see what it's all about? And so Jerry invited me to come to the Far East Prayer Band. And there were seven of these guys that were praying for the Far East. And we prayed for Japan, we prayed for China, we prayed for Taiwan, we prayed for Korea. And God began to work in our hearts as we prayed for this. We prayed for God's kingdom come. We prayed for God's mission. And of the seven of us, God called five of us to go to the Far East. One of us went to Korea, one went to Japan, two of us went to Taiwan. And I think there were three of us who went to Taiwan. We began to pray for God's mission and for God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come. You know, when we pray this prayer, Thy kingdom come, we're saying, may God reign as King on the throne of my heart. May Jesus Christ be the King of my heart and life. May God's kingdom come more and more completely in our lives and also in our church. And so we must pray for our mission and the mission of our church. And the mission is the heart of God. So when we're praying for God's kingdom to come, it's praying after God's own heart. So we need to seek and pray for God's mission. We need to seek and pray, Thy kingdom come in our hearts, in the hearts of our friends, in the hearts of our family members, in the hearts of our church brothers and sisters, but also in the hearts of others, those we work with. I'd like to ask you, if you would please, to stand together. Oh, I went too far? I'm sorry. I want us to say this Lord's Prayer together. As we think about it, this was the card that I gave. And if you did not receive one of these cards, I have some with me. I'd be glad to give them to you. The Lord's Prayer. If we could say this together, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Father, I pray Thy kingdom come in our hearts. The spiritual kingdom, that Jesus Christ would rule and reign in our hearts and our lives. Lord, may that come more and more completely. So many times we want to have control of our lives. We want to be on the throne. Lord, help us not to be on the throne, but to step down from the throne, allow Jesus Christ to be on the throne. Allow Him to rule and to reign in our lives. To allow Him to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what He wants, to rule in our lives. His spiritual kingdom. And then, Lord, we understand that this is part of Your mission. And so we pray for that mission. We enter into that kingdom. We pray for others to enter into that kingdom. And Lord, we pray that the good news of the gospel would be sent forth from our lives and from this church. Thy kingdom come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.